Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Poetry with Flavor. This is your host, Miss Lucy. I hope everyone is doing well. I've been having a bit of a challenge health-wise, so my spirit is kind of low, but I'm working on it. I realize, and I know I've said this about 50,000 times, you all know that at this stage in my life, my mind has a mind of its own. So I realize today how many times I have said, we'll talk about this next week, or I'll do poems on this next week, and I never followed through. Finally, went into my garage again. I found a bunch of stuff, and I surprised myself because I don't know if I'll share that on this podcast because they're all X-rated. I'm almost ashamed of myself, but that's life. Here we go again. I did find here's two new ones. Well, not, they aren't new, but they're new to me reading on the podcast. And I'll just share those. And please, if there's anybody out there, feel free to comment. Feel free to jump in and ask questions. But as I said, I found a bunch of X-rated poems I wrote. Oh, my goodness. Anyway. And then these two that I'm going to share right now, these are not X-rated, but kind of shocked myself. This one is called Genocide, and it's talking about hip-hop music, the rap music that had changed. From, for those of you who know, KRS-One, Knowledge Reigns Supreme Over Everyone. That was they weren't the first rappers, what's the name of that first group? I can't think. But when it first started, it was positive. It was positive words coming out. And then there was a flip, and everything is, B-I-T-C-H, or, you know, calling women whores, all just too sexualized. So this is called Genocide. It's very short. Hip-hop's misogynistic, vulgar renderings, loud, repugnant, relentlessly, fill the airwaves, killing the children. Okay, this next one is called Baltimore Directory, and at the time I wrote that, I think I was just looking at how in most black neighborhoods, you know, we have the big billboards that promote all kinds of stuff, you know, from the liquor to it looks like a circus in some of the neighborhoods where the billboards that up, and you don't see that in white neighborhoods. But anyway, this is called Baltimore Directory. I should say Baltimore Directions, but anyway, when looking for my house, look for the landmarks. Just follow the trail of overflowing trash cans and blue plastic bags flying like balloons or hanging on the branches like leaves. Just past the second pile of eviction trash, the pile with the Beyonce poster, make a right. Go two more blocks and then park. Park by Big Bill's Liquors, right next to the Amen Church of God. If Big Bill's lot is full, because it usually is, park on the other side of the church in the New York Fried Chicken lot. King. This is not talking about Dr. King. This is just a very short commentary on the black male who, as we know, targeted from birth. But if we ever get back on track and realize you are a king. But anyway, here it is. It's very, very short. It's not but two lines, really. Two lines. King. Dreadlocked, woolly crown, black king. Beautifully fierce, wantonly feared. That's it. Is that what a conundrum is? It's hated and loved at the same time. No comments on that? Okay.
No, I'm just
here's
listening.
Another. Okay. here's another real short one. Natural causes. Death of black male youth by murder is called natural causes. This is line. Daria, as you know, I'm flipping through pages. While I'm flipping, I just want to throw out there again, if there's anybody in an organization or fraternity or a sorority or any kind of group that is looking for something or someone to fill their venue during Black History Month, please throw my name at them. Now, when I was young, and there were no Black men on TV except Amos and Andy and Stephen Fetchin. And then as I became a young adult, Sidney Poitier became a lead actor on television, but he was the only one. And now, yeah, there's so much blackness on TV that I can't keep up with it. I'm just in shock for the good, I think, but there's still a lot of depictions that need to be taken off, need to be protested, like Wild and Out with Nick Cannon. But anyway, this little poem, this was my thinking about the facing the black man on the television screen or the movie screen, and of course that has now changed. It's called Never on Prime Time. My man won't be seen on television. showing his prowess as a lover, caressing breasts and licking necks and rendering a woman weak. No, my man won't be seen on the television, all his glorious manliness, because the good old boys, women, won't want them anymore. Here's another short one. Sax Man. Hey, Sax Man. Love me like you love playing. Caress my body tightly. Play my notes lightly with your magical touch, reaching me intimately. We could make beautiful music. Dream catch. Their mamas raise them to be boys. Their wives teach them to be men. Then they leave to become some hussy's dream catch. You got no amen corner on that? Okay. I don't know who said this, was it an aunt or whatever, said, don't buy a man no shoes. Don't buy him no shoes, because he'll put them on and walk out the door. But anyway. Till death do us part. Killed my trust. Killed my respect. Killed my love. I don't know why I got all these little three-line poems. Okay. Power. The black sweat of your battle sweetens our togetherness, solidifies our oneness. Only we can turn hate into love. What magic, what wonder, power. Okay.
While you're flipping through pages, you said something earlier. Could we flip back to it? Because, you know, four-year-old has short memory span. You said whenever hip-hop rap started, it was positive.
Yeah.
Could you say a little bit more? Can you say a little bit more about that?
No.
All right. Cause,
but I'll tell you, go ahead, finish what you're saying.
Because we go back to, what was it, Gil Scott? And
yeah,
that really
yeah.
was the beginning, and theirs was very prophetic in there.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, yeah.
Then when the young boys came in, the white boys, they realized that they're going to have to do something to keep us from coming together and developing a response to what was happening in the world. It's like that idiot mm-hmm. down there in Florida now, that stupid
Fast.
Governor
yeah,
who wanted to mm-hmm. say that black history, black experience is not educational.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of not hearing people of color stand up, whether as a group now that's trying, but they need to be all over the airways. They need to be having meetings. They need to be hollering it from the pulpit how racist, and so it's all right
yeah.
for our people to suffer for,
mm-hmm.
from what they are saying about us. But we start
exactly.
saying the truth. We speak the truth. See, again,
the thing,
and I'm going to shut up.
Go ahead.
Alternative facts, and the idiot is belittling my intelligence and my people's intelligence by asking me when is the truth, not the truth. Now, that's what he's saying with that stupid position he's taking.
I'm in total agreement with you. But one of the things that gives me a headache about living in this country as a black person is not so much the powers that be, because they have exposed themselves over and over and over of they have exposed the hate that they have. So I've learned how they keep moving the line that you aren't supposed to cross, and how they change the laws to suit them. I understand all that. What I don't understand is us. And until we seriously unite, we aren't going to have a voice. That's why the Jewish people can talk about the Holocaust, and everybody gets offended if it is placed in negative thoughts, negative voice by other people. Everybody comes to rescue. But there's nobody there for us because we are so divided. I don't know how much wider the divide can be before we all perish. And that's what's going to happen. You know, integration, I'm telling you, that was the nail in the coffin for us, because our communities, we were so united. You had the doctor living a few doors from you. You had the teacher living across from you. You had the pastor. You know, we had our own everything, our own schools. We had our doctors come to our houses. Well, really they had to, because they had no hospital affiliation at that time except for a very few black hospitals. But we were united. We weren't separated by titles and labels and money and all that stuff. We had one common enemy, and we knew it. And so we strengthen our communities, and we strengthen our children. There wasn't anywhere you could go in your community that somebody was watching you, looking out for you, or even telling your mother and father what you did and should not have done. They'll correct you, and by the time you get home, your mother's down there waiting with a switch. I mean, we need to get back to that. I remember saying, I don't know, on one of these podcasts, I was saying, we cannot afford for our children to leave our presence and go to school without some positivity coming from our mouths to our children. We've got to give them armor to put on to deal with the racism. And you know it starts from day one. Our kids in elementary school are looked at as teenagers when they're babies, you know? Okay, I'm getting upset.
Well, I'm upset
saying,
as well.
True.
So
that is very
calm
true.
Down.
Yeah.
We forgot our culture. We thought they had something better than what we had.
Right.
And they did not.
And you know,
we forgot our culture.
You're right. You remember when they started that, I forgot what year. Somebody tell me what year when they started using that word multiculturalism.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
I remember that, too. I can't think of the year.
I wanted to know what decade that was. But it wasn't that long ago. But we could never fit in with that, because all the other groups, they came with their culture, their language. They knew their history. And here we still are divided, still don't know And when I say don't know our history, we know bits and pieces. Our history is so vast, it would take 100 lifetimes to learn it all. But we don't even have enough of that to make us stand straight instead of having a bent back. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
We don't even have that to lean on. And instead of, I'm getting mad. Why did I get so mad? We have access to everything now. I mean, knowledge. There's access now with this crazy internet and all of that. But instead, we're putting pornos on, putting on shake your tail dance videos and all that kind of crap. And what do you call those? And those games that the kids play that deal with guns and all that, they get all that kind of crap for Christmas, you know. They don't get the teachings of or the quotes of Malcolm or Martin or, you know, it. God, we have it right at our fingertips. We have the answer right within the community if we can get our heads together. You know, I wouldn't want to be anything other than black. I mean, I love it. I love being black.
So do I.
Yeah. But what I don't love is that we've lost something. We've lost something that has torn us apart. We should be uniting. Every other group on this planet is united with their people, except us. Wait a minute. You know what? Who is that guy? I wrote something about that. Hold on, y'all. You laughing at me, Mr. Wood? Let me see.
Yeah, I'm having my snack while I'm listening.
Oh, okay. But I did. I remember I wrote something about that. Of course, let me just do these real quick. Road to Freedom. Negro minds into black minds, into black consciousness, into African minds, into power. The free and freedom is only to confuse you, to tease you, to control you, to fool you, even to abuse you. The free and freedom should be spelled fraud. Okay, this is called Stop Talking Black. Stop talking black. It's only on the surface, like your skin lacking taste. No deep, dark richness, like chocolate icing on a chocolate cake, just a chocolate-covered Twinkie going to waste. I pledge allegiance to my people. I wasn't going to read all these, but I got hot now. I pledge allegiance to my people. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the African-American people and to one African nation, under the Creator, united and strong, uplifting the children with uncovered truths, assuring our rightful place on this earth. I pledge allegiance to my people to give my brothers and sisters love, respect, and support, to always extend a helping hand, to network, promote, elevate, and give hope to to live and work from the perspective of we and not I, to assure that my dollar from African America it buys, to continue the tradition of extended family, community, and unity. I pledge allegiance to my people, to the benefit of all and the betterment of the world. Now, Mr. Willie, do you remember when Queen Elizabeth came to Washington, D.C., were you there then?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I'll save that for another time. But had one of the worst, I shouldn't even talk about it because I can't remember the name of it. One of the worst neighborhoods in Washington, D.C. I mean, a decayed black neighborhood, you know. But they went in there and they fixed the streets and put in grass and flowers and all this crap for her to come for a visit. I'll never forget that. Second nature.
I had not to be there at that time. I would have remembered that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I can't pull up the date in my head right now. But anyway, that just came to mind. But second nature. We've got bowing and scraping and compromising down to such a fine science. We think we're supposed to act like that. Almost natural. Oh, here's this one. This is someone might think. The Jews embrace Jews from whatever land and call them all kin. White folks have open arms for the Polish and Soviets and others with white skin. We are the only folks who reject our own, go out of our way to make the connection thin, lest someone think we're African. I'm depressing myself. let me change it after this. You remember Dr. Asa Hillard? You remember him? Anybody?
Yeah.
You remember him, Willie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember that name.
Yeah. Well, he did this. excuse me. He did this lecture called "Free Your Mind." And this is where I wrote this mantra. It's called Until Freedom is Complete. We've got to free our minds and return to the source of our African beginnings and African thought. We've got to free our minds and return to the source of our African beginnings and African thought. Repeat, we've got to free our minds and return to the source of our African beginnings and African thought. Repeat until freedom is complete. Okay. Let me do this one, and then I'm going to find something funny to read. But, called Makes No Difference. Why doesn't having a black mayor, black school superintendent, black police commissioner make any difference in our fate? Just doesn't equate. We're still unemployed and filling the jails. Our children are dropping out before they are failed. Too frequently, complaints of police brutality file in with racism's ugly taint. And so I ask again, what difference does it make in our fate to have a black take over? The inequities just get bolder. Is it too much to expect, or is it the super nig syndrome I detect? Okay. I'm ready to go fight and march. Oh,
so you got your energy level up. So you're ready.
I got myself worked. I'm mad because this stuff, I wrote this stuff decades ago. You know what I'm saying? And we're still in that place.
Right. Right.
And we should, you know what I'm saying? And we should not be.
Right.
And I don't know what it's going to take for us to understand how powerful we are, and why a group and a government would be so hell bent on stifling us, hurting us, killing us. You know, that should tell you something. There's power that we have, and we can't see it for petty labels of what? Good hair, bad hair, light skin, dark skin, janitor, principal. You know, we got all these, everything divides us, everything. It's just sickening to me. It just is. Oh. Let me find something funny. Okay. Oh, did you all hear about another stupid mass shooting? I'm telling you, people are going crazy. I got so, I pay attention to everything. I feel like I have to. I try to keep it not so chaotic in my mind. I don't harp on it, but it is just out there. Our world is out of sync. And I realized today, I had to go to the post office today, and I realized that as I was stepping in, that I was consciously looking at everybody in there. You know, I was consciously looking to see if somebody might have had something in their pocket. I was consciously looking for where can you hide if something happened. I mean, I don't think I'm being extreme with that. I mean, I'm an old lady who, you know, who walks bent over and all of that, so I'd be a target, or either I'd get run over by the mob because I'm not moving fast enough. So I realized that today that has become part of my consciousness, that where can I hide if something happens? You know, even though I got my mace on me, you know. It's a scary world, folks. But, okay, well, I guess I'm talking to myself.
No, but you're not by yourself. I mean, you know, I don't think you're talking too much. I think you got millions and millions of people around the earth feeling the same way. And I think what you're saying is giving them some comfort to realize that they're not by themselves. I mean, most of us are that way. I went and did my concealed carry and got a small device where I would be able to carry, and that was in response to the way people were acting.
Right.
Well, I tell you what really concerns me a lot. I don't understand how these black boys can continue to kill each other the way that they do. I just don't get it. Resolution. It's just like they don't think of any other way to solve a simple conflict.
Because they don't have anybody at home to teach it. You know, a lot of them don't have males in their home to give them any guidance.
That's right. I think it is that lack of that father in that house.
Okay. I got another take. It had nothing to do with like a father. I say we needed when I was coming up, what prepared me to deal with the society was what we call playing the dozen. You talked about each other's mama. It don't have to be your mama. Something that's near and dear to you that you talk about. Come to realize, you get upset. I got mad because they were talking about my mama. But if I lashed out at one, the whole group jumped on me. What that did, that prepared me to realize and understand that you can't fight everybody. And you don't go out the way these boys are doing now. And you didn't have a gun back then. A pistol, you shoot somebody now, that's terminal. They're not going to get up and come back tomorrow. And that's the video games is overlaid on top of that. You play that video game, you kill up everybody today, and you come back tonight, they're still there, and you're killing them again. But playing the dozens, and I want y'all to think about it. I grew up in the 50s, and I was too young. I was 5 in the 40s. But in the 50s when I grew up, that was one of the things that we did. And nobody really meant any negative thing about it.
But it's a whole new world, Willie. It's a whole new world. It's just like me trying to be on a typewriter and everybody else is on a computer. I mean,
that's a good analogy.
It's a new world. And we have, we have a lot of broken homes. We have a lot of children being raised by male children being raised by their mothers. And then we got so much psychological stuff. It's a wonder we're not all in straitjackets. These kids don't, they get mad at the mama because the daddy's not there, you know? So they're blaming mama for that when they don't even understand adult stuff. They don't know what it is. But, oh my goodness, I'm getting upset again.
Don't get upset.
I'm going to do, I know I've done it a million times, but I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do Black Apocalypse. Children dying, black brains frying, off the dope put in the veins, men abandoning their seeds, and streets turning bloodstained. Little girls get their menses before they can even spell their name and get caught with spotted panties because they don't understand why or what, and nobody has the time to explain. Daddy's gone and mama's too busy trying to make a dollar out of a dime. And so the children give birth to babies that become the next lost generation, growing like weeds, without care or direction, waiting to be Kinlawned to death. And that was written decades ago. Same stuff is going on. We have too many enemies, inside and outside. I mean, within our community, we're our own worst enemy. And then
That's what I say all the time.
And then when we go to work and go to school, we're faced with the other enemy. Oh, my God. I don't know what the answer is. I just know I'm sick of it.
See, I go back to that biblical version about training up a child the way that he should go. We stop training. We stop teaching and talking to our kids. Okay, when we came along, also when I came along, there were three major factors in our lives that was a part of that training. You got something in the church, you got something in the community, you got something at home, church, and at school. Mention the name Jesus in school, they ready to throw you out.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm just saying, look at, I'm talking about school, and so many parents aren't doing anything at home. And I'm not just talking about because of COVID now. Kids never made it to church. So,
well,
I mean, what do we think?
Times have changed.
Right.
They have drastically changed. There's nobody, everybody is fighting. We're fighting each other, and then we got to fight on the outside. And then we come back home, and we're fighting each other, and it's all because of what's being kept from us. and the information, the correct information about us as a people that's being kept from everybody. I don't know how to word it.
You know, Lucy, I think I've told you this before. I learned a valuable lesson when I spent about 7-8 years in the alternative school. I said to my principal one day, I can deal with a child who's lazy. He knows he's lazy. But he also knows that when he decides to do something, he can do that work. But to me, the most harmful, tragic thing was, especially with the black boys, to see a black boy that was smart and did not know he was smart.
That hurt
me more. They had no idea they were smart.
I'm telling you, you're going to make me cry now. You know,
but it's true. Nobody
has
spoken success in their lives at an early age. They were gifted. They were smart. But they did not know they were smart.
No, that's right. You know, for 2 years after I left the city schools, I taught at the Hickey schools for boys, juvenile delinquents. I was there for 2 years. They had three schools. One wasn't behind any wire or razor wire or anything. You could just drive down and look like you're going in a park. That's the school I taught in. Then the other school was behind fences and razor, other two schools, I should say, behind fences and razor wire. The third school was for those kids who were, they've just graduated being full-blown criminals and sexual deviants. And then there, anyway, the school I was in, we weren't behind wires or anything like that. But when they came to me, and it was mostly black boys, but there were white boys there too. I had one little white boy. It was Home Depot or whatever. He got in the job. He got out of Hickey School. He got a job. He was so proud. He saw me. I didn't know who this white child was running up to me. And he thanked me, you know. I said, but those kids, they hated me at first, and then they started calling me grandma. And look, I was getting offended because I didn't think I was that old. I said, why are they calling me grandma? Said, because they like you, because you teach us. I said one time on this podcast, we have got to elevate our kids with our words. We've got to change our whole vocabulary. We've got to stop saying bitch, stop saying ho, stop saying all that kind of derogatory stuff, and start saying honey and sweetie pie, and It's, you know, I see the fixes and they seem easy, but there's something that is blocking us to getting back to that unity.
Right.
I don't know how to do it. I like to beat Nick Cannon's butt, though. That's one thing I'd do. That'd be one of the first things I'd do. Pull him off the TV. But I don't know. I don't know. We don't have the unity. And I don't know.
I know my sister-in-law has gone back to subbing. And I've never done elementary school. It was always middle school and high school. And she just told me this about 2 weeks ago. She said what hurts her more than anything else is to see those little black boys come in the room first thing in the morning angry.
Mm-hmm.
Angry.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely angry the first thing in the morning. How difficult could it be that before your child leaves town, you tell him you love him and hope you have a good day?
That's what I'm telling you. That's what we should be doing, but instead we mad at him because he looked too much like his daddy who just beat
That's
her
right.
butt, you know?
Right.
Oh, boy. Where is my sign? I got to get a sign. I'm going to get me a wheelchair, motorized, and I'm ready to go up and down the street and protest. We've got to do better, and we need to do it fast.
We got to.
Mm-hmm.
We got to.
Yeah. Let me find something funny. Did I say that about 20 minutes ago? Find something funny to talk about. You know, something funny. Let me see.
Well, Lucy, the beautiful thing is that your poetry makes us realize that we got to do something. I think that's the whole thing. It just stirs something up in the inside.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I wish, you remember when, I'm going to tell you how crazy I am. Not crazy, but I have written so many letters to these politicians and celebrities. I don't know if they ever got them, but that was my way of venting, you know?
Right.
You remember when LL Cool J used to wear one pants leg rolled up? Don't nobody remember that? That plucked my nerves. I wrote a letter because the kids started doing that, looking stupid, you know? Girl, I used to write all kinds. I wrote a letter to Thurgood Marshall. I put it in a red envelope so he make sure he see it. But I don't know if he ever got it, but anyway. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see what this is. Hold on, y'all. This is, it says the good old days. I don't know. Oh, my. This says, oh, this is not nice. The good old days. I can't remember the last time I saw a beautiful nappy head. Afros of decades past, worn proudly like crowns. A fist raised in unity, a powerful silent symbol. A salute to brotherhood, an acknowledgement of strength, being called sister instead of a bit. Oh, my goodness.
And that's true.
Mo is looking at me like, am I getting ready to go off over here? She's just staring me in the face. But I'm sorry, y'all. I got emotional over our situation, which I say it can be easily to do. That's if everybody's on the same page. But how do you get everybody on the same page when money has become their god, those who are making it, you know? What's that lady's name? I can't stand her, and she can't sing. What is her name? Beyonce.
Oh, yeah, what? I heard this morning that millions of dollars she got.
$24 million.
Right.
$24 million for one performance in Dubai.
Right.
But that's who they worship, and they don't care because they don't have to be touched by what's going on in the community.
Right, right.
You know? And, my goodness, we are in such a sad, sad place.
But I think the sad thing is the way we, it's just like honor them in society, like they're doing something great. That's the whole thing. We place all the, that becomes newsworthy. That's not even newsworthy.
And see, how many thousandaires and millionaires and billionaires that are black? How many are there? I know we got enough that we could make a change.
Right.
We could go back to our own media and newspapers and bulletins and our own library. We could do it ourselves. That's what we did before integration. But see, we still have to have that validation of white folks.
Right.
Lord have mercy. I said I was going to do something funny, but I ain't found nothing funny yet. let me do this. Just a child. I don't even know what time it is. Anybody got an eye on the clock?
7:48.
Okay. This is called Just a Child. Hey, you remember, and I'm talking to the ladies that are listening, when back in the day, 40s, 50s, I think it started changing in the 60s, I don't know, but there was only one color stocking for black girls or ladies.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
One color. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is called Just a Child. It made me think about my sixth grade graduation when I got to wear my first pair of stockings, even though it might turn my legs orange. But anyway, okay. you made me wear red fox is what we call them. You made me wear red fox stockings that turned my skinny sixth grade legs as orange as a jack-o'-lantern's head. I didn't understand the sneers and mocking. I was just a child. You made me make a secret about my love of the color red, because if black gals wore it, they were called whores, and I was just a child. You made me know in no uncertain terms that white kids were better, as if I had some contagious germs, and I was just a child. You made me hate my hair and nose and lips, as every year your white Santa never brought a doll to look like me. My beauty was never in his thoughts, and I was just a child. You made me feel dumb with your school books that lied and tried to say my people gave nothing to this world and will achieve even less, and I was just a child. You made me use lemons in abundance and bleaching creams to try and change my black Sundance skin to damn near white, and I was just a child. You made me eat watermelon at the kitchen table when everyone knows it's much more fun to eat outside and see who can spit the seeds the farthest. So inside my house, frightened as a little mouse that you might see me and call me watermelon head, I placed the seeds in the trash can, and I was just a child. Oh, here goes my throat. You made me miss my childhood, laden with the burden of your fears, as if your terrible confusion from becoming who I am. A woman, black, beautiful, and strong, who will not let you do to another precious black child your ugly wrongs. And that was called Just a Child.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's absolutely, and it's so truthful.
We've been through something, haven't we?
Yes, right. Sure have.
Mm-hmm. I just want us to understand how powerful we are, and that we are not each other's enemy. That's what I want.
Right.
We are not each other's enemy. And for all those people who so-called made it, meaning monetarily, I'm happy for you. But you need to you need to look behind you and put somebody else on that rung of the ladder so they can get there too. I don't know. My throat does this just about every time. I'm anyway, what time is it? Is my time up?
7:53.
Really? Okay. Well, let's see. We should leave on a funny note, but I can't think of nothing funny right now. I got myself all worked up. Oh, let me do this. Let's see. Let me see. Oh, this is one of my old divorce poems. Half a man, double dipping, double dealing, dap daddy. Got a dynamite dealer at home, but he ain't never satisfied unless he slips sliding, tip tapping, wing walking in the opposite direction alone. Okay, that wasn't funny. Well, we'll find something funny next time. And I know I never did finish Harlem Renaissance, but I have added to it. Oh, my God. And I had to make myself stop because I put in about the black churches. So maybe I'll read that next time. But I thank you all for listening. I appreciate your support. I thank you, Mr. Willie, for allowing me to have an opportunity to do my poetry, because I tell you, when I'm focused on my writing, and I'm not saying my writing's all that, I'm just saying when I focus on that, I feel better and not have to I feel more focused, I should say. Yeah,
your writing is beautiful, Lucy.
Yes.
Your writing is beautiful. It really
thank
is.
Thank you so much. Yeah. All righty, it's time for us to go. Mr. Willie already left.
No, I haven't left. I thought I was on mute.
Oh, okay.
No,
see, I don't even know
I'm
how to do
active.
That. Oh, I don't even know how to do that, to mute.
No, I just muted my phone.
Well, I don't know how to do that. That's what I'm
saying. Oh, okay. All right.
I am definitely will get a F grade in technology of all kinds. Okay. Well, I thank you all. I thank you, Mr. Willie, for the opportunity. I thank you, Miss Ann, Miss Odessa, whoever else is out there. Can you tell who's out there, Mr. Williams? Anybody out there?
No. Oh, there's people out there on their computers, but not calling in.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to go again. I'm very appreciative of those who are listening, and hopefully you'll tune in again. What's my next date? You got a calendar, Mr. Will? The second Monday
the
in
second.
February.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I know next Wednesday is February the 1st, because a friend told me that today. Next Wednesday is the 1st of February. So.
Oh, so that moves me all the way down to the 13th?
Yeah, you'll be back on the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie. All righty, good night, everybody.
Good night. We always do. Okay.
I got to go fix my protest banner so I can hit the streets tomorrow. See you all.
Okay. You take care. Have a good night.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.